Listening to sermons as we go about our days, driving around or doing our work, is a perfect reminder of our Lord's promises and of His mercies. This is the mission of Upper Room Media: to make the Word of God accessible to anybody and everybody.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. The lecture of tonight is from 2 Corinthians chapter 3. So I want you to turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. St. Paul, in his ministry, was actually accused with two accusations. The first accusation, that he is not a true apostle because he was not one of the 12 or the 72. He did not see the Lord Jesus Christ in the flesh. And the second accusation was he is destroying the law. Because St. Paul was speaking against the Judaizers. Judaizers are those false teachers who were teaching, unless you keep the customs of the law, you cannot be saved. So St. Paul, in his letter to, second letter to Corinth, chapter 3, start by saying, do we begin again to commend ourselves? Do I need to commend myself to you? Do I need to praise myself so you will believe that I am an apostle? Do I need to speak about my ministry so you believe my ministry? Or do we need, as some others, epistles of commendation to you? The Judaizers actually were able to get some letters of commendation from the apostles by deception. So maybe they got a letter from St. James, Bishop of Jerusalem, or Peter, or any of the apostles. So St. Paul is saying, do I need, as some others, to bring to you epistles of commendation to you, or letters of commendation from you? Or maybe you need to write the letter of commendation based on my ministry among you. You witnessed my ministry among you. So here actually he is telling, do you really need a letter of recommendation to me? Actually, you can write a letter of recommendation for me. That's what he meant in this verse. Then he elaborated more and he told them, in reality, you are our epistle. You are our epistle. Meaning what? St. Paul taught them to love one another. So when the community in Corinth love one another, so the people can read the ministry of St. Paul in their life. Like, for example, we say we are the children of Pope Shenouda, we are the children of Pope Kyrillus. So the people can see the ministry of Pope Kyrillus or the ministry of Pope Shenouda or Pope Tawadros in his children. So here he is saying, you are our epistle, written in our hearts. And as a servant, you need actually to keep your children in your heart and keep in mind that your children is your epistle. So your children will speak about your ministry by their behavior, by their action. If you planted a good plant, then they will say, yes, the children of so and so. And the opposite is true. You are our epistle written in our heart. Written in our heart means we keep you in our heart. We always pray for you. You are not, we don't forget you. And then he said, known and read by all men. Known and read by all men. So the people, when they see the Corinthians, they can say, these are the children of St. Paul, through their behavior, through their interaction with others. But then St. Paul lists somebody misinterpret the verse, you are our epistle, that St. Paul is building his own glory or making or having a partying spirit. So these are the children of Paul, these are the children of Peter, these are the children of James, and so on. And St. Paul in 1 Corinthians, actually he said, who is Peter, who is Apollos, who is Paul? Just we are servant of Christ. That's why he said, indeed, clearly you are an epistle of Christ. So the light of Christ should shine through us. You are the light of the world and the salt of the earth. We are just a servant. So you are the epistle of Christ ministered by us. God is the one who is planting. God is the one who is making the growth. But we are just taking care of this plant, ministered by us. And since you are the epistle of Christ, who wrote this epistle? The Holy Spirit. Written not with ink, but by the Spirit of God. And written not on two tablets of stone, like when God wrote the Ten Commandments, but on tablets of flesh, that's of heart. So here is the image became clear. The Holy Spirit in my heart, write, love your enemy, forgive one another. And these are the commandments of Christ. But the Holy Spirit write this commandment in our heart. So the people, when they see these commandments lived by us, applied by us, then we become an epistle of Christ. That's why in every liturgy we read the Synaxarium. The Synaxarium actually is the fifth gospel. The Synaxarium shows us how these saints lived the commandment of God. So the Synaxarium is the epistle that St. Paul is speaking about, that was written by the Holy Spirit and on the heart of the flesh. And since you are the epistle of Christ, and we have such trust through Christ toward God. So the Holy Spirit, who is writing this commandment in our heart and we apply it in our life, makes us have confidence toward God the Father. But this confidence is only through Christ, not away from Christ. Because no one can approach the Father except through his Son. So we have this confidence toward God the Father because we are the epistle of Christ, written by the Holy Spirit in our heart. Again, we have confidence before God the Father, because we are the epistle of the Lord Jesus Christ, written by the Holy Spirit in our hearts. Verse 5, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God. So he said, if our ministry is successful, if our ministry is flourishing and growing, not because we are sufficient of ourselves. It's not because of my ability, my talent, my intelligence, my knowledge, my effort, no. But our sufficiency comes from God. As a servant, what's your relationship with God in relation to the service? Do you pray before visitation? Do you pray before speaking and giving the lesson? Do you pray before preparing the lesson? From where you get your sufficiency? From your knowledge, from your ability, or from God? Then from verse 6, St. Paul compared between the ministry of the Old Covenant and the ministry of the New Covenant in a very beautiful way. And he mentioned actually 7 differences between the ministry of the Old Covenant versus the ministry of the New Covenant. So St. Paul said, verse 6, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the New Covenant. And he started to explain what glory, what honor that you are servant in the New Covenant, not servants of the Old Covenant. The first difference between the Old Covenant and the New Covenant, he called the Old Covenant the ministry of letter, not of the letter, but the New Covenant the ministry of the Spirit. And he said, for the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. What does this mean? In the Old Testament, God gives them the commandment, whether the 10 commandments or the law. But these commandments for them, just letters and words and text. But the letter or the commandment did not have the power to change my heart. For example, I am telling you, thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not murder. But this commandment in itself, just letters, doesn't have the power to pierce your heart or to change your heart. And God said to them, if you keep the commandment, you will live. But if you don't keep the commandment, you will die. And nobody was able to keep the whole law. That's why everybody was under the sentence of death. That's why he called the Old Testament letter, ministry of the letter. And letter kills. I have the commandment. I cannot keep it. Then I am dead. But in the New Covenant, there is 2 differences. The main difference that the Holy Spirit accompany every single word, and the Holy Spirit changed my heart from a heart of stone into a heart of flesh. That's why the commandment now has the power to pierce my heart, has the power to make me able to keep it. In the Old Testament, I could not keep the commandment. But in the New Testament, I am able to keep the commandment. St. John said, and we know his commandments are not burdensome because I am able to keep the commandment. Even if I break the commandment, I have the confession, I have the repentance, I have a communion. Then I'm not under the sentence of death. What is the difference? It is the grace of the Holy Spirit. That's why the second point, the Spirit gives life. So in the Old Testament, the servant were serving the letter, which kills. But we, the servants of the new covenant, we have the ministry of the Spirit, which gives life. So St. Paul was praising God that he made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. And if the letter kills, then this ministry is the ministry of death. What are you preaching the people? Preaching the people in the old covenant, keep the commandment. If you don't keep it, you will die. So actually, you are preaching death because nobody is able to keep the commandment. So as if you are preaching to them death, that's why you call it the ministry of death. But this ministry of death actually happened in glory. If the ministry of death written and engraved on stones, he's referring to the Ten Commandments, was glorious. Because when Moses stood before God, his face was shining and there was glory. So that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of the glory of his countenance. But this glory of this ministry is passing away. Which glory was passing away? So he called this ministry, ministry of the letter, ministry of death, ministry of weak glory, and ministry of passing away glory. Glory will pass away. So he's saying, if the ministry of death had glory, how will the ministry of the Spirit not be more glorious? So now actually, we are serving the ministry of the new covenant, the ministry of the Spirit, the ministry of life. We are preaching people life. We are preaching to them the good news of salvation. The Lord Jesus Christ came to save you. You are saved. You are not under the sentence of death. If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you followed his footsteps, you will be saved. Even if you fall in sin, repentance, communion, confession, you will be saved. We are preaching life here. So if this ministry was glorious, then actually this ministry is exceedingly glorious. Verse 9, he called it also the ministry of condemnation. For if the ministry of condemnation had glory, everybody was condemned. I have the commandment, but I could not keep them, so I am condemned. But the new covenant makes me righteous. It is the ministry of righteousness. Exceeds much more in glory. The righteousness in the old covenant, based on my own works. If I keep the law, I will be righteous. So, the starting point, I am a sinner in the old covenant. And I have these commandments. If I keep them, I am righteous. But nobody was able to keep the commandment. And if you break one commandment, you are guilty of all. You are condemned. So everybody in the old covenant was condemned. That's why when they died, they went to Hades. But in the New Testament, the starting point is, I am a sinner also. But if I believe in Christ, and I die with him in baptism, then I became righteous. That's why we dress the children who are baptized white. This white color represents the righteousness of Christ. That's why we put the red ribbon, symbolizes the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Then keeping the commandment to keep this righteousness that I received as a free gift from God. And if any time I committed a sin through repentance, confession, and communion, my sins will be forgiven, then I will restore the white color again. In the book of Revelation, when John saw people walking in white garment and asked, who are they? He was told, those who washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb. Every time I repent, confess, take communion, I am washing my garment in the blood of the Lamb. If the church is dark right now, then we lit a candle. So the candle actually gives some light to the church. So we can see that the candle is glorious because there is light shining from the candle. Then we have light. The light of the candle will disappear in the light of electricity. So this glory will disappear completely in the light of the electricity. That's verse 10. For even that what was made glorious, the ministry of old covenant, which was like a candle, had no glory in this respect. Had no glory when the morning star, when our Lord Jesus Christ, when the ministry of righteousness started. And when we compare the glory of the old covenant to the glory of righteousness, there is no comparison. As if there is no glory in this respect, because of the glory that excels, because of the glory of the new covenant that excels. For if what is passing away, the ministry of the old covenant passing away, was glorious, what remains is much more glorious. Then the ministry of the new covenant, which remains, is much more glorious than the ministry of the old covenant. So far, St. Paul said the old covenant ministry of letter, this ministry of the spirit, ministry of death, ministry of life, ministry of glory, ministry of exceeding glory, ministry of passing glory, ministry of permanent glory, ministry of condemnation, ministry of righteousness. So St. Paul here is giving glory to God that he made us sufficient to be ministers of the new covenant that has all this glory. Verse 12, therefore, since we have such hope, we use great boldness of speech. In the old covenant, you are preaching to the people death, condemnation. So this will not motivate us to speak. But in the new covenant, what are you preaching the people? the good news of salvation. You are not condemned. You are righteous. Jesus died on your behalf, so you'll be saved. Just believe in him and follow his footsteps, and you'll be saved. So if we understand the depth of our ministry and the glory of our ministry, then we will have great boldness of speech. And here actually is a very important point to all of us. What are we preaching? Because many times we preach like the old covenant. We preach putting heavy burdens, condemnation, death, guilt on people's shoulder. But our ministry is not a ministry of condemnation or guilt or death. And if we understand the beauty of our ministry, then we will have boldness of speech, great boldness of speech. If I send you to somebody to tell him you are arrested and they will execute you, how motivated to go with this message? And if I send you to somebody who under the sentence of death, and I tell you, go and preach to him a message of deliverance. You are delivered. You will not die. How motivated you will be? That's our message. Our message is a message of deliverance, not a message of condemnation. So we need to be joyful and courageous, motivated, have this zeal. As the Lord said, I came to preach deliverance to the captives. That's our message, deliverance to the captives, liberty. Then he go back to the ministry of the Old Testament, Old Covenant, verse 13. Unlike Moses, who put a veil over his face so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the end of what was passing away. So although this glory was passing away, but the children of Israel could not look at it, and they have a veil. Moses used to put a veil on his face. They could not look at. And what is the meaning? Meaning that their mind were blind. Their minds were blinded. For until this day, the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament, because the veil is taken away in Christ. That's a very important point. The veil is taken away in Christ. Some people actually, until now, when they read the New Testament and the Old Testament, they have this veil. They cannot understand the depth of the words. People read the Bible to criticize it. The veil is not removed because the veil is taken away in Christ. People read the Bible with unrepentant heart, so the veil still exists because the veil is taken away in Christ. When I put on the righteousness of Christ. So he said, as the people couldn't see the glory of the old covenant, and until now they cannot see this glory, they cannot see the mystery of salvation that was hidden in the Old Testament. They read Isaiah 7, behold, the virgin will conceive and have a birth, but they are blind. They cannot see the fulfillment in the Lord Jesus Christ. But the veil is taken away in Christ. But even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil lies on their hearts. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. So the veil is taken away in Christ, and the veil is taken away when one returns to God. You know why we read the Bible and we don't understand it, or we don't live it, or we still have difficulty to apply the verses of the Bible? Because the veil still exists. So there are here two conditions. The veil is taken away in Christ, and the veil is taken away when we return to the Lord. And this is our ministry. When we see our children have this veil, then the advice here to return back to the Lord. When we turn back to the Lord, the veil will be removed. Now, the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. In the Old Covenant, it was the ministry of the letter. I was actually a slave to sin. I know what's right and what's wrong, but at the end, I do what's wrong. I am a slave. But in the ministry of the New Testament, there is liberty. It's the ministry of the Spirit. I am not a slave anymore to sin, but the Lord has set me free. And now I have, through the Spirit of God, power over sin. So if our children are under bondage, they need actually to return back to the Lord. So the veil will be taken away. Then they can enjoy their liberty in our Lord Jesus Christ. So the ministry of the Old Testament is a ministry of slavery. It exposed the sin, but it did not treat the sin. It showed me that I am under bondage of this sin, but it did not help me how to overcome sin. But in the New Covenant, those who turn it back to the Lord and those who receive the Holy Spirit, now they can be free from this bondage. The last difference, but we all with unveiled face, the veil in Christ is removed. So with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror, but when we go there, it will be face to face. Beholding the glory of the Lord. When we behold the glory of the Lord, we are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. So, here actually, the New Covenant, it is a ministry of unveiled face. There is no veil. But in the Old Covenant, it's ministry of veiled face. Their mind is blind. Let me give you an analogy to understand this verse. If somebody want to have suntan, so he or she goes to the beach wearing very, very heavy clothes and covering their head and covering their face. And then they sat in the sun for many hours. Do you think they will get suntan? Of course not. But if they unveiled their body and exposed themselves to the sun, they will have suntan. And the more they expose themselves, the more tan they have. That's exactly what St. Paul is saying. If I am standing before God, but with veiled face, the veil, my sense is veiled. My stubbornness and hardness of heart is a veil. My unforgiving spirit is a veil. My pride is a veil. My materialism is a veil. All these things are veil. But we need actually to remove this veil. When we stand before God with unveiled face, exposed completely, then I will be transferred. I'll be transformed into the same image, into the image of Christ. And I will be transformed from glory to glory. And the longer I stand before God, the closer I will be in the image of God. As I told you, no one won't just suntan and go for a few seconds and run away. That's why many people complain about long prayers, but they don't understand. Long prayers, in order to stand before God with unveiled face for a long time, so His image will be printed on me, will be portrayed in me. Behold, and we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. That's why many people reach a very, very high level and high status of spirituality in young age, because they stood before God for a long time with unveiled face. When we read about Saint Misael the Anchorite, who reached a very high level of spirituality at age of 17. How come? Because he was beholding the glory of the Lord with unveiled face. So he was transformed from glory to glory into that image. But if we don't spend the time with God, all of us, we have words, we have movement from our parents because we lived with them. And if you have actually a very, very close friend, the more you spend the time with him, you will say words from his vocabulary and he will say words from your vocabulary. You will influence each other. In the same way, when we spend the time with God, we will be transformed into His image. But many times we just want to run away from God. That's why you are not transformed. So St. Paul compared between the old ministry, old covenant ministry, and the new covenant ministry in seven major points. Ministry of letter, ministry of life, of spirit, sorry. Letter and spirit. Ministry of death, ministry of life. Ministry of glory, ministry of exceeding glory. Ministry of glory that passes away, ministry of glory that remains. Ministry of condemnation, ministry of righteousness. Ministry of slavery, ministry of liberty and freedom. Ministry of veiled face, ministry of unveiled face. So we need actually to understand the honor that God granted us as servant of the new covenant. We need to understand the honor, because understanding this honor, as St. Paul said, will make us speak with great boldness. For if what is passing away was glorious, what remains is much more glorious. Therefore, since we have such hope, we use great boldness of speech. When we understand this glory, then actually we will speak with great zeal with great honor. So the purpose of this lecture is to understand the glory of our ministry, that God entrusted us with this ministry and made us sufficient of this ministry, not because we are worthy of it, because our sufficiency is not of ourselves, but God who made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant. Glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.
This talk was brought to you by Upper Room Media. We hope that this talk has, through the grace of God, touched your heart. And we pray that it will not only inform you, but will also transform you and your life with Christ.